The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות. Today's daf is being studied in honor of the rabbi, עבדך, dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. David Meyer, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim. Thank you. Daf Dalet. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Mor Zekeni, B'Yosef Ben Sarah. Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihem B'Gan Eden. Amen. Rufas Shel Imam, Moshe Ben Dina, Asla Ruhama Bat Rachel, V'Sarah Bat Rachel. Enna Refer Lahem. Fuat Nefesh, Ufuat Aguf, Ufuat Amkir Balama V'Chin Yinosom Anomar. Amen. We begin today's daf on Gimal Amud Bet, and we are starting two lines from the bottom. Tara Rabbanan, the Braita. Ezuhi Edut Arishona, Zu Edut Stira. Edut Acharona, Zu Edut Tum'a. We just came off a Mishnah, and there was different terminology that we used in that Mishnah. One was called the testimony, the first testimony, one was called the last testimony. So the Braita is just defining. The first testimony is referring to the testimony of Stira, and the last testimony is referring to the testimony of actual Tum'a. Okay, now the Gemara says, "Vekama shiur setira." How long does the lady have to be secluded in order to be considered rendered, you know, a sota that she goes to the Bet Hamikdash and drinks? So, "Kama shiur setira." So the Gemara says, "Kede tuma," the amount of time that it takes to become tameh. Kede bi'a, which is the amount of time to make a bi'a. Kede ha'ara'a, which is the amount of time that the Eved doesn't have to penetrate, but Nishika, which means even the Eved is just touches that place over there. Kedeh hakafat deket, which is the amount of time to walk around a palm tree. A lot of extra words over here. Right? You have kedeh tuma, kedeh vi'a, kedeh ara, kedeh hakafat deket. The Gemara is going to explain exactly why you need all these superfluous terminologies to explain to me the Shi'ur. Divrei Rabbi Ishmael. All this is Rabbi Ishmael. So again, if you're writing on your papers in front of you, I would write Braita number one, Rabbi Ishmael, and next to him, Hakafat Dekir. The Shi'ur of Tum'ah is the amount of time that it takes to walk around a palm tree. One revolution. Okay? Next, Shita, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kede Miziga Takos. Okay, so if you're writing, you write Rabbi Eliezer, he says the Shi'ur that takes to make Miziga. What does Miziga mean? To pour a rivi'it of wine, right, in a cup, or a Shi'ur of wine, where if you make Miziga, meaning you add water to it, it'll come to a rivi'it. So the amount of time that it takes to do that, that's how long the Shi'ur of Stira is. Rabbi Yoshua Amir Kedeh Lishtoto. Rabbi Yoshua says the amount of time that it takes to drink it, that wine that was prepared, Shitiyah, just the time to drink it. However long it takes to drink it, that's the Shi'ur of Tumah. So right, Rabbi Yoshua Kedeh Shitiyah. Ben Azai Omer. Ben Azai says Kedeh Litzlot Betza. Okay, that's the fourth Shita, the amount of time that it takes to roast an egg. So again, Ben Azai, put next to him, Litzlot Betza, to roast an egg. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kedil Legoma'a, the Shi'ur of time to swallow or to drink an egg. That's like a soft boiled, the Shi'ur to swallow it. Kedil Legoma'a. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Betira Omer Kedil Legmawa Shalosh Betzim Zu Ahar Zu, the amount of time that it takes to swallow three eggs consecutively. So that's you right off by that Shita Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Gimel Betzim. Okay. Rabbi Elazar ben Yirmiya Omer Kedel Likshor Gidre Nima, in order to tie the threads of a weaver. Which
means when they're weaving, sometimes the threads come apart, so they have to make a knot in order to tie the threads together. So the shi'ur of time that it takes for the weaver to tie and make a knot. Okay, gedre nima. Hanin bin Pinhas omer, kedesh shetoshik yada letoch piya litol kisam. The amount of time that it takes for the lady to put a hand in her mouth to take out like a splinter or kisam, a bone that's within her teeth. She has like some food or something, or kisam is a stick of some sort, some wood that's stuck in her teeth. The amount of time that it takes to stick a hand in the mouth and pull out a kisam, okay, between her teeth. Flimo omer, which is the last shita, kedesh shetoshit yada lesal litol kikar. The amount of time that it takes for her to stick a hand in a basket and take out a piece of bread. That's the shi'ud of tum'ah. Now, for pisha in the ayal, even though there's no explicit proof to flimo shita, zechel davar, there is a remez in the pasuk. Pasuk says, ki bi'ad isha zona ad kikar lehen. Right? The pasuk says, in the beginning of the pasuk, for an isha zona, ki bi'ad isha zona, from an isha zona until a loaf of bread. So you see a remez in the pasuk that an isha zona has something to do with a loaf of bread. And what is that? A remez to the last shita that says the shi'ud is the amount of time that it takes to stick your hand in the basket and pull out a loaf of bread. So okay, so over here in Braita number one, as we said, you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 shitot, which are basically saying what is the shi'ur of how long a lady has to be in stira, in seclusion, in order to render herself tamei'ah, that she has to go drink the waters of sota. The Gemara is going to say each rabbi over here basically has the same point. He's trying to explain what the shi'ur of ha'ara is, but each rabbi gave it according to him. It's not really an argument over here in the point. Everybody agrees it's kedei ha'ara, but each rabbi gave it according to his calculation. Now, the Gemara begins its analysis with the following. V'chol haneh lamali. What do you need all this interpretation? In the first line of the Gemara said, "Vekama shi'ur stira." We said, "Kede tum'ah, kede bi'ah, kede ha'ra'ah, kede hakafat deker." What did you need all that terminology to explain? So the Gemara says, "Vechol hane lamali." What do you need all that introduction to explain? So the Gemara says the following, which means the Gemara could have said kede tum'ah shehi shi'ur hakafat deken. Very simple. The shi'ur of tum'ah is how much? The amount of time that it takes to walk around a palm tree. What did you know about other all those other words? So the Gemara says sirike. You need it. We go one step at a time. Di'i tana kede tum'ah. If it just would have said the amount of time that it takes it to become tume'ah, I would say part of the time that it takes her to become tameh is not only the actual act, but the time that it takes him to appease her. I would have counted appeasement as well. Tum'ah includes the entire act from beginning to end. The appeasement, before he goes with the lady, has to appease her. So maybe I would say the shi'ud is appeasement plus act. Kamashma'lan kedeh bi'ah. Therefore, the next word comes and says, no, kedeh tum'ah, which we thought to mean bi'ah ve'artsuta. That's why it says the next word, kedi bi'ah, to teach me, no, it just means the bi'ah and not the shi'ud of the time of appeasement. The itana kedi bi'ah. Now, if it would have said kedi bi'ah, the time it takes to make a bi'ah, hava mina kedi gemar bi'ah, I would have said a full bi'ah, which is has to penetrate her completely. Kamash ma'alan kedi ha'ara'ah. That's why I have to say the next word to say, no, it's only ha'ara'ah, which is meaning only nishikat ever, where the ever actually just has to touch the place. The e ashmina kedeh ha'ara'ah. Oh, if it would have said kedeh ha'ara'ah, so then hava amina kedeh ha'ara'ah ve'artsuta. Then I would have thought that it means the time it takes makes ha'ara'ah with appeasement. Kamashmalan kedeh tum'ah. That's why I have to say the words kedeh tum'ah. Now, explain that last point, what it means. Look at the Rashi in order to appreciate that last thing. Look at the big Rashi here. If the Braita would have said kedeh ha'ara'ah, the amount of time it makes to ha'ara'ah, ve'lo tana beresha kedeh tum'ah. Oh, key. And it didn't say in the beginning kedeh tum'ah. They just would have said, what's the shiur of stira? Kedeh hara. Without saying the word, tum'ah, hav amina kedeh hara v'arzuta. Again, I would have thought, the hara means the time that it takes to make hara, including the time of appeasement. Now, v'afilu tana kedeh bi'ah, even if it would have said the words kedeh bi'ah as well, I would have said like this. Kedeh hara lo adam emeret arzuta. Which is, I would have said like this. Kedeh bi'ah, if I just would have said bi'ah, I would explain like this. Bi'ah means full bi'ah with arzuta, with appeasement. If we just would have said bi'ah. By adding the word ha'ara'ah, I would have said what? It's just coming to minimize the bi'ah. It's coming to say, okay, not a full bi'ah, a limited bi'ah, but with a arzuta, with appeasement. Again, kedeh bi'ah means everything, the whole act. Bi'ah with the appeasement, the amount of time that takes the appeasement, correct? The next word would be what? Kedeh ha'ara'ah. What is ha'ara'ah coming to exclude or to minimize? The shi'ur of the bi'ah, not the ritsui. Therefore, I would say the ritsui still is needed, and the ha'ara'ah is just coming to say you don't need a full bi'ah, you just need a partial bi'ah. That's why it has to come and tell me the three terminologies. Kedeh tum'ah, which is kedeh tum'ah would tell me everything. Understand? Kedeh tum'ah would tell me full bi'ah with arzuta. Right? The word kedeh bi'ah comes and tells me, no, it's not referring to arzuta. It's referring to only full bi'ah. Oh, kedeh ara'ah comes and tells me not even full bi'ah, just ha'ara'ah. Understand the progression, why you need all three. Again, if I would have said tum'ah, tum'ah is everything. Tum'ah is full bi'ah with ritsui. The next word, bi'ah, comes and takes away, it keeps bi'ah, obviously, in there. It just takes away the ritsui. Okay, so I got ritsui out of the game. Now I just have bi'ah, but it's full bi'ah. So what does the word kedeh hara'ah come and tell me? Now I'm minimizing even the bi'ah itself to make it kedeh hara'ah. Now she speaks this out. Look at the Rashi now. I read this from the beginning. Velo tana b'nesha kedeh tumah. If it didn't say the words kedeh tumah, hava amina kedeh hara'ah v'arzuta. V'afilu tana kedeh bi'ah, kedeh hara'ah lo hava mimra'et arzuta. Da'an amina, like this. Hara'ah l'mi'ute gemar bi'ah. I would have said that maybe hara'ah is only coming to exclude gemar bi'ah, umiyu arzuta ba'inan. Da'aki avi maswa, kama shur stira kedeh bi'ah. V'an amina kol tzorche bi'ah. If it just would have said bi'ah, bi'ah means everything. Tanu arzuta v'gemar bi'ah. V'adad mefresh ma'i bi'ah, hara'ah. הקטי ארצותה לא ממעט. הלכך תנה ברשע כדי תומעה. זה משפע תומעה וארצותה. תומעה means everything, meaning ביעה וריצוי. ועד הפרישו, מה היא תומעה? כדי ביעה. Now where is ביעה coming to the ועל כורחך, אם מעית ארצותה. דה ביעה, כולה גמר ביעה משמע. ולא מעט אלא ארצותה. ועדה תנה, מה היא ביעה? הערה, ללא בעין הגמר ביאה. הוא אומר לה שמיין המיני נמי, לא תריק כדי ביאה, הקנתי לו אבי ממעט ארצותה, דכדי תומה גמר ביאה ורצותה משמע. Which means, exactly like I told you, I explained to you outside again. כדי תומה, right, כדי תומה is everything. כדי תומה means full ביאה with ריצוי. כדי ביאה comes and tells me you don't need a ריצוי, it's just the act of ביאה itself, and then ha'ara'ah comes and tells me it's not even the bi'ah fully, it's just ha'ara'ah. And then it says, how much or how long is ha'ara'ah? The amount of time that it takes to walk around a deck in a palm tree. To that, the Gemara comes along and says, good, kedaka fatikin, exactly. Now, she asks the question. Skip everything. Just tell me kedeh kafat deket. What do you even got to confuse me with this whole business? Just tell me. We're looking for a time, right? So just tell me 4 seconds. Or just tell me kedeh kafat deket. So the Rashi answers, he couldn't do that because it wants to tell me what are we trying to gauge over here. If you just tell me kedeh kafat deket, I don't know what I'm trying to clock here. What's the item? What is that kafat deket representing? I need to tell me it's representing the shiur of ha'ara'ah b'li ritsui. So if it had to tell me the other terminologies, because hakafat dek would not be enough to explain exactly the gauge of what I'm trying to time over. I wouldn't know that. Like, what's the item that she has to actually, the shi'ud of what we're counting. Good? Okay, now we start stidot. Urmin hi. The Gemara now brings a stida from a second braita. Basically, what's going to happen over here is the Gemara is going to quote a second Braita. The second Braita is going to have five Shitot. Five Shitot of the same rabbis that talked in our first Braita. And basically, in the second Braita, they're going to be saying totally different Shi'urim. So we're going to have to figure out how to reconcile the two Braitot, you know, with the different Shi'urim that were offered. Okay? Urminu. So if you have your paper already prepared now, you know, next to your second Braita, next to your first Braita, to start writing the Shitot of Braita number two. Vinistera, right, it says, and she was secluded. The Kama Shi'u Stira. What's the Shi'u of Stira? Lo Shamanu. We really don't know. Kishu Omer V'initma'a. The fact that it says V'initma'a. Havi Omer Kede Tum'a. Kede Bi'a. Kede Hara. Kede Hazarat Dekel. Divre Rabbi Eliezer. So right away, you put the Rabbi Eliezer, and you write next to him, and write the number two, Hazarat Dekel. Now, right away, if you notice what Rabbi Eliezer said in Braita number one, he said Kedem Mizigah. So right away you see a contradiction in the Rabbi Eliezer immediately. Continue. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Kedem Mizigah Takos. Okay? Now that is again contradicting his Shita of Braita number one. So over there he said Kedesh Shtiyah, the time that it takes to drink Takos. And here he's saying the time it takes to make Mizigah, to add the water, to dilute it. Ben Azai Omer Kedel Lishtoto. Right? Ben Azai said in Braita number two the amount of time that it takes to drink the kos, where in Braita number one he said the time that it takes to roast an egg. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kedel Litzlot Betza. Braita number two, Rabbi Akiva says the amount of time that it takes to roast an egg, where in Braita number one he said the time it takes to swallow an egg. Fifth Shita, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betra Omer Kedel Ligoma'a. Braita number two again, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betra, the amount of time it takes to swallow an egg. Compare that to what he said in the Braita number one, to swallow three eggs. So basically you have five contradictions over here from Braita number two to Braita number one. To the next end of the daf, the Gemara is going to just reconcile all the Shitot to make peace amongst them. Again, if you're writing Braita number two, I'll repeat it again. Rabbi Eliezer, you're writing next to him Hazarat Dekel. Rabbi Yoshua, you're writing Mizigat Akos. Ben Azai, you're writing Kedil Shtoto, time to drink it. Rabbi Akiva, Litzlot Betza. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, Legoma, to swallow it. Now we begin the analysis. Kas al kadatach, haynu akafat dekel, haynu hazarat dekel. Okay, at this point, when the Gemara discusses hazarat dekel, we're thinking hazarat dekel also means to walk around the tree. Just another way of saying it. The one way is akafat dekel. Maybe one way is going, you know, clockwise, and one way is going counterclockwise. But the point is, it's the same thing. At this point, we're assuming Hazarat Dekel and Hakafat Dekel are the same item. If that's the case, you have a problem. Why? Gemara. Hatam Amar Rabbi Yishmael Kete Hakafat Dekel. In Braita number one, who is the opinion of Hakafat Dekel? Rabbi Yishmael. And what? Upalig Rabbi Eliezer Aleh. And Rabbi Eliezer argued on him. Correct? Hacha Amar Rabbi Eliezer Kete Hazarat Dekel. But over here, in Braita number two, he said Hazarat Dekel. Now, if Hazarat Dekel is equal to Hakafat Dekel, so therefore, why did he argue? Which means he holds Hakafat Dekel, really. If Hakafat Dekel and Hazarat Dekel are the same, so why did the Bilezer argue on Rabbi Ishmael? In Braita number two, he holds Hazarat Dekel, which is the same thing as Hakafat Dekel, so he shouldn't have argued him in Braita number one. Understand the question? Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, Hakafa Beregel, Hazara Beruah. They're different items. Hakafa Tekel means walking around the palm tree. Hazara Tekel is a different item. It means the swaying of the leaves. You ever see a palm tree? What happens when the wind goes? The leaves sway back and forth. So Hazara Tekel means the swaying, means the time that it takes to sway, meaning to go, let's say, sway to the right and come back. Okay? That's Shi'ud. Oh, so now it's very good. So let's just speak out now. That means Hazarat Dekel equals Mizigat Kos. Because we don't want to make a stira on the Rabbi Eliezer himself. Right? So therefore, Mizigah equals Hazarat Dekel. Therefore, there's shalom between the two blightot. Fine. So comes the Gemara and says, Ba'ir of Asher, side question. Hazara biruah, when you said the wind blowing the leaves, ki hechi de azil vehadar ateh, does it mean like we explained, meaning it sways, let's say, to the right, let's say it goes one way, and then just comes back to the middle? Or dilma ki hechi de azil vehateh vehadar ka'e biduchteh? Or does it mean the full amount of time till it takes to come back to the center? Which means, does it mean like this, where it sways to the right, then it goes all the way to the left, and it keeps on going back till it settles? Or does it just mean the amount of time that it takes to go one, to the right, let's say, just will come back to its point, right away? Or do you mean the whole thing, swaying back and forth, left, right, till it gets back to its point, which is a little longer, obviously, than the first shita? That Gemara says tiku. Gemara leaves out in a tiku. Okay, so we don't know exactly how long the swaying of the leaves is, but that's the shita. Okay, good. Now, question number two. Hatam Amar Rabbi Eliezer Kedem Bezigat Kos. Good. Blaita number one. Hatam is always blaita number one. Okay. Blaita number one. What did Rabbi Eliezer say? The shiur of Meziga. Hacha Kede Hazarat Dekel. Oh, which the Chaura we said is a different shiur. So the Gemara says no, idividi had shiurau. Good, like we explained, you have to say Hazarat Dekel and Meziga is the same shiur in order not to make the Bili Ezer contradictory. Okay, Hatam again. Every time it says Hatam is blighter number one. Hatam Amar Biyusua Kedel Lishtoto. Hacha Amar Kedel Meziga Takos. Okay, straightforward stira and the Biyusua. Look at the Biyoshua and Brighton number one. What do you say? The amount of time it takes to drink a kos. What do you say in Brighton number two? The amount of time it takes to make Meziga. So make up your mind. Is it to drink it or to make the dilution? So the Gemara says, Ema kedel limzog velishtot. Okay. So you have to mean it's really both items. Which means the Biyoshua meant the amount of time that it takes to make Meziga and drink. In order not to make him contradiction. So when you read Braita number one, Rabbi Yoshua is coming to add to Rabbi Eliezer, the Shita right before him. Rabbi Eliezer said to make Meziga, right? So you learn Rabbi Yoshua to mean like this, not only Meziga, but also drinking. It's Meziga Vishtiya. And that's what he means in Braita number two as well. Meziga Takos means Meziga Vishtiya. Okay, it's both items. Okay, now can we look at the Rashi? Keep one finger on the Gemara and look at the Rashi. First wide line. Ema kedel limzog v'lishtot. Now, v'hai kedel lishtot tekamar le'el. That what he said, kedel lishtot in Braita number one. Amiziga tekamar Rabbi Eliezer kam mosif Rabbi Yoshua. He's coming to err on the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer that's set right above him. V'amar shtiya name ba'inan ima miziga. Now, uchtem miziga de tanach bebatraita. And what he said in the second braita, miziga v'shtiyah kama. Distam miziga lemishtiyeh miyadu. She'achar she'mazgo mitkalkel imashe oto. Right, normally after you make miziga, you drink it. Because if you're just going to dilute it and leave it there, it's going to spoil. Good, so therefore we square off Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, why do you have to do that? Back to the Gemara. Ve'lema idi v'idi had shi'urahu. Why don't you say a simple answer? Why don't you say the shi'ur of drinking is the same shi'ur as making Meziga? And therefore, keep Rabbi Yoshua as he said. One bright the shtiyah, one bright the Meziga, and just say it's the same shi'ur. You can't say that. Why? Imken hainu Rabbi Eliezer. Because then exactly it's the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer. Bright the number one. What is he arguing on? Rabbi Eliezer said Meziga. Rabbi Yoshua comes and says, no, shtiyah. Well, the same thing. If shtiyah is equal to Meziga, so what are you arguing on? Sar machloket. So you can't say that they are the same. Okay. Look at Rashi. Imken hainu Rabbi Eliezer. Deha Rabbi Eliezer bekamait kedem mizikat kos kamar vekapadik Rabbi Yoshua bekedem shoto ubatraita amar Rabbi Eliezer hazarat dekel. Right, and hazarat dekel we explained is the same shiur as miziga veokim ladanu kedem miziga vimizigat kamar Rabbi Yoshua batra belo shtiyah kamar hayu Rabbi Eliezer, which means in the second part is exactly Rabbi Eliezer, because hazarat dekel you told me is exactly the shiur of miziga. Then Rabbi Yoshua comes on in Braita number two and says what? Miziga. That's what mash hazarat dekel. And they have to see that Yeshua must have meant it's Meziga plus Shtiya. Okay, next contradiction. Hatam Amar bin Azai. Again, Hatam always is brighter number one. Chatam Amar Ben Azai Kedil Itzlot Betzah. Okay, right, to roast an egg. That was Ben Azai and Baita number one. Haka Amar Kedil Ishtoto. And here we said the amount of time to drink the egg. So the Gemara says, Iti V'idi Had Shurau. All right, no problem. We can square that off. We can say it's the same shi'ur. The time to roast an egg and drink it is the same shi'ur. Look at Rashi. Had shi'urahu. Drink it like a soft-boiled egg. You're drinking it. Look at Rashi. Had shi'urahu. Veleka le'akshuye imken haynu Rabbi Yoshua debekamaita amar kedel shtoto lekos. Had shi'urahu. Veleka le'akshuye. I review. Hatam amar bin Azai. You told me in Brighton, number one. Ben Azai says the shi'ur to roast an egg. Which means in Brighton, number two, to drink a cup of wine. Okay? Because obviously he was going back on the B'Yoshua. B'Yoshua Meziga, and he came along to drink it. So the Gemara answers, the time it takes to roast an egg and to drink it if you eat the wine is the same shi'ur. Now that she over here makes a point which is obvious. Look at that she. Had shi'urahu. Veleka le'akshuye imken haynu Rabbi Yoshua. Don't tell me that now Ben Azai is equal to Rabbi Yoshua. Why? The bekamaita amar kedel lishtoto dekos. Because in Braita number one, Rabbi Yoshua said what? The shi'ur of drinking a kos. Ve'amar Ben Azai batre. What did Ben Azai say? Kedel lishtot betza. Do kedeshtiya. Which would say is really the same shi'ur as drinking. So basically, Ben Azai is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yoshua. That's not so. Lav kushai. Because we already said that Rabbi Yoshua, when he says lishtot, means limzog v'lishtot. And Ben Azai is only talking about lishtot alone. So therefore, there's no commonality between Ben Azai and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua means lishtot v'limzog. When Rabbi Yoshua is, when Ben Azai is only talking about lishtot alone. Back to the Gemara. Now we go back to Rabbi Akiva. Hatam amar Rabbi Akiva. Right, the number one. Kedil ligum'a. To swallow the egg. Hacha amar kedil litzlot betza. And here we said the shi'ur of roasting an egg. So the Gemara says, Ema kedil litzlot betza v'ligum'a. Okay, so therefore it's both. Which means when it says in the Braita number one, the amount of time to swallow the egg, it means to roast it and swallow, which means he's coming to add to what Ben Azai said before him. Ben Azai said the time to roast an egg. Rabbi Akiva says not only roast and eat. And that's what he meant in the second Braita as well. Rabbi Akiva, when he says litzlot betza, means litzlot v'legom'a. So therefore, we don't want to make a contradiction in Rabbi Akiva. So comes the Gemara and says, v'lema idi v'idi had shi'urahu. Why don't you just say the time to roast an egg and the time to swallow an egg is the same shi'ur? To square to be Akiva, to give us imken haynu Ben Azai. Then already you're making the same shi'ur as Ben Azai, because Ben Azai was the one that said in Braita number one, litzlot betza. Right, if Rabbi Akiva is coming along to say to swallow it, if you're swallowing and roasting the same shi'ur as Rabbi Akiva coming to talk about Rabbi Ben Azai, saying the same thing. Ela, I have to say, it's not the same item. And the point of Rabbi Akiva is he holds it's both items. Kedil litzlot v'ligmawa. Last contradiction. Hatam amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera. Right, the number one. Kedil ligmawa shalosh betzim zuachar zu. By three eggs. Back to back, swallowing them. Hacha amar kedil ligum'a. And here it just says kedil ligum'a, which is mashma, one egg. Right? So the Chavra had said, "Stira." The Gemara answers, "Lidbarav de Rabbi Akiva Kamar." He's reacting to what Rabbi Akiva said. The Kamar, Rabbi Akiva said right before him, what? In Braita number two, "Misha'arim b'tzli'a u'bigmi'a." Right? Rabbi Akiva. How do we learn Rabbi Akiva now? It's two items. It's roasting and swallowing. So he said like this, Ben Azai said, what do you got to get involved in roasting and swallowing? Say your shi'ur only in swallowing. Don't get roasting involved. Ema shi'ur gimi'a li'huda. Kedil ligmawa shalosh betzim zuwa harzu. Dainu shi'ur avi gimi'a. Which means, Ben Azai didn't come to argue did not come to argue on Rabbi Akiva. He just was saying like, Rabbi Akiva, you said a shi'ur of what? The time that it takes to roast one egg and swallow it. So therefore, Ben Hazai comes along, I'm sorry, Ben Terak comes along and says, what do you got to get involved in two different processes? What do you got to get involved in roasting and swallowing? Just give us this urine, swallowing. Which means the time that it takes to swallow three eggs is the same shoe that it takes to roast one egg and swallow it. So therefore he's coming along to say, Kedele Goma, would you just give the shiur in Gimia? Understand, the shiur of Sli'ah and Gimia can be just given in Gimia alone. Which means Sli'ah and Gimia of one egg is equal to Gimia of three eggs. So therefore the B.U. really comes out of B.U. Damita is not arguing. Now he's really saying it's just interpreting the Akiva. He was just giving a different way of calculating. Instead of saying the Avigimia, just say it in Gimia. So basically, all the Shitot are squared off. You all have your personal charts to be able to see it. You want to see it in your art scroll on 4A4. There's a chart that actually did the same thing that we did over here. Okay, we continue. The B, the Ezer, Ben Yirmiyah. Remember, we go back to Blaita number one. Okay? The seventh sheet of the Braita was the Bidezer ben Yirmiyah. Omer, he says like this, Kedeshi yikshor gardenima, the amount of time that it takes to tie the threads, right, the threads of a weaver. Ba'ayra vashet demirhako demikarev tiku. How far are the threads away? Are the threads close to each other? Or are the threads further away? I guess they're further away, it takes a little more time to bring them together. So how close or how far are the threads? We don't know. Tiku makes a difference of, you know, a small amount, but we're trying to get the shiur over here, so the Gemara does not answer that question. Okay, next shita. Hanin ben Pinchas omer, kedesh shetoshit yada letoch piya letoch kisam, litol kisam. Right, the amount of time that it takes the lady to stick a hand in her teeth and pull out like a stick, a splinter. Ba'ayra vashe, te mehadek or delo mehadek. Is it wedged in there tightly in her teeth or not? If it's tight, I guess it takes longer to pull it out. If it's soft, you can just pull it out, you know, easily. Tiku, you know, has a tiku on that also. Primo Omer, kedesh shetoshit yadal lesal letoki kara. Which sounds like a very simple shita, right? The amount of time she takes a hand in a basket, takes out a piece of bread. The Gemara has many sifekot over here, what we're talking about. Number one, ba'ira vashe, the mehadek or no mehadek? Number one, is the bread wedged in the basket tightly, so you have to fight it a little to get it out? Or is it loose where you can just pull it out quickly? Number two, Behata or Ba'atika. What type of basket are we talking about? Is it a new basket where still the wickers are sticking out, so therefore you have to be a little more careful so you don't prick your hand when you put your hand in the basket? Or is it an old basket where it's really smoothened out, where it's easy to take it out quicker? That's Behata or Ba'atika, so the basket. Behamima or Bekirida. Is the bread hot or cold? Hot bread, you gotta be more careful because it falls apart. So therefore you gotta take it out more carefully so it doesn't fall apart. But cold bread, you just pull it out very quick without breaking it. Are we talking about wheat bread or barley bread? Which means it seems that wheat bread is more smoother, slides out easier. Now shake in the barley bread, it takes a little longer to pull it out. Birkika or beakusha. What type of batter is the bread? Is it rikika? Rikika, which means it's like a soft batter, which comes out much quicker. Or is it a hard batter, which is a little harder, it's a little more difficult to pull it out? All the different type of questions on what type of bread we're talking. The Gemara says, Tiku. All these questions really need to be answered. Okay, Amar of Yitzhak, Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yohanan. Kol Ehad Ve'ehad Be'atzmo Shi'ayir. Good. Each rabbi of these nine shitot that we brought over here, each rabbi is giving a different shi'ud, but it's basically for the same item, for hara. So the Gemara says each rabbi gave the shi'ud according to him, which means each one calculated it personally. How long would it take to make hara? Good. The Gemara, how could that be that each one gave their personal shi'ud? Va'ika ben Azai de lo nasib. Ben Azai never got married. So how can you tell me he's giving a shi'ud, kedil litzlot betza, right? We gave a shi'ud litzlot. What do you mean? He never had the hara. He never got married, Ben Azai. So how can you say each rabbi was giving how long it takes him?
Yeah.
He never had a marriage. Right? Remember the Gemara said that the Rabbi Ben Azai was the one that said, Nafshi hashka b'Torah, which means I'm married to the Torah. And therefore he never got married, like we said in the Gemara in Yibamot, Tafsamir Gimal. Right, the world will be populated by other people. I'm going to sit and learn Torah. So the Gemara gives two reasons, two answers. Nasib upirash. Yeah, some say no. He got married, but then he left his wife. He was divorced, which means so he knew what the hara was because he was actually married. It just means that he didn't stay married. Oh, he heard it from his rabbi. I mean, Ben Azai was giving his shoe, not a personal thing, meaning from what his rabbi taught him. The Sadiqim, they know the secrets of the world without having to actually experience it. But Bnei Olam gives the Hakamim, you know, the secrets. So you saw the Shem Lidav. Okay, good. Darash Rav Avira. Zimnin Amarla Mishime Derabi Ame. Vizimnin Amarla Mishime Derabi Yose. Okay. Derabi Ase. Kola Ochel Lechem Bedon Tilat Yadayim. Anybody that eats bread without making the Netilat Yadayim, Ki'ilu Ba'al Isha Zona. It's like he went with the Isha Zona, Shine Emar. Ki Be'ad Isha Zona. Ad kikar lechem. So you see the pasuk over here refers to isha zona and bread. Now what's the exact dirasha over here? So look at the Rashi. Ki bi'ad isha zona hashta darish le mesefa l'resha. Many times the Gemara's Doresha pasuk, sometimes frontwards to the end, or beginning to the end, and sometimes is Doresha end to front. This is an end to front dirasha. How? Bishvil kikar lechem, Adam mitchayev be'onesh shel isha zona. Right, so you're reading at the end of the pasuk. What does the end of the pasuk say? You know, ad kikar lechem, which is because of the sin of kikar lechem. You didn't make the yadayim on the lechem. They give him the punishment of be'ad isha zona. You know, for the sin of as if it was with a zona. Okay, the Amar Rava, the Gemara says, doesn't work. Hay be'ad isha zona ad kikar lechem, be'ad kikar lechem ad isha zona mifa'ele. Which means, you can't learn it backwards like you're trying to. Because the pasuk says be'ad isha zona, it sounds like for the sin of isha zona. On the contrary, it should have said, you mean you want to learn it backwards, I have no problem. But it should have said then, ad isha zona. Be'ad kikar lechem. Then you could learn backwards. Be'ad kikar lechem, for the sin of kikar lechem, you punish you ad isha zona. But be'ad is masma for the sin. So therefore it's masma that you're doing the isha zona. So therefore not to learn it reverse. So therefore he says, Ela marava, kol ha-ba'ad isha zona, lesof mebakesh kikar lechem. Anybody that makes zinut, at the end they're going to become poverty stricken, where they're not going to even have bread. They're going to have to go beg for bread, which means it takes away a person's parnasah. Person fools around, goes with zonot, goes around with the isur, and then ki bi'ad isha zona. For the sin of going with isha zona, it's going to bring him to what? Like kikar lechem. Till he doesn't even have a loaf of bread, he's going to have to go ask food from other people. Okay? Amar Rav Zirika, Amar Rabbi Eliyahizen, El Azar. Okay. Kol mezalzel b'netilat yadayim. Anybody that's mezalzel and this netilat, doesn't make netilat yadayim before he eats bread, ne'ekar min ha'olam. He is uprooted from the world. What's the logic? Meaning he dies. Why? Netilat yadayim is a takanav hakamim. And we have a law. Poretz geder, yeshechenu nahash. Anybody that breaches the fences of Chazal is bitten by a snake. And therefore, that says, kol ha'over al devrei hachamim hayav mita. So you say, it's only from the rabbis. Not a big item. So Gemara says, be careful. Ne'ay karman ha'olam. Amar Rav Chaya bar Asher, Amar Rav, mayim rishonim, sarich sheyagbiya yadav lema'ala. Okay, Maim Rishonim, the first waters, that's Netilat Yadayim, before you eat bread, you have to keep your hands lifted up straight, which means your fingertips upward. Maim Aharonim, Sarik Shiyashpil Yadav Lemata. Okay, Maim Aharonim, the opposite. You want to keep the fingers down. Okay, we will see exactly why. Tanya na mechem ve'brayter to support this. Hanotel yadav nitla yadav ma'im nishonim tzarich sheyagbia yadav lemala. Why? Shemi yitzu ha'mayim chutz laperek. Okay, let me explain to you this outside so you understand exactly the concept. Let's review why you're making the touch of at all. Hakamim made a gesera, and they said, Stam yadayim sheniyot letum'ahim. So the hands are v'din of a sheniya. So you say, so what? So the hands are a sheni. So you want to eat bread. Bread, chodin, cannot become a shelishi. So what's your problem? Eat your bread, nothing can happen to bread. Sheni does not make a shelishi v'chodin. On regular bread. However, a sheni does make a shilishi by terumah. By terumah. If a person was a kohen that's eating terumah and his hands were a sheni, now he's touching terumah, terumah becomes a shilishi. So the rabbis made a takana for all Klal Yisrael. Gezerah for the kohanim. Because they didn't want the kohanim to come eat their terumah betumah. So they came along and said, you know what? Everybody now has to make the tilat shadar so the kohanim also will be zariz before they eat their terumah. Now, what's the ikar terumah? Ikar terumah was bread. It was hita. Right? So therefore they made the nitla yadayim by bread. Okay, now let's discuss how the mechanics of the nitla yadayim work. A person takes the water, and the Gemara says, you have to make the nitla yadayim, basically you have to pour water on your hands twice. Okay? It's the first pouring and the second pouring. Leave the third pouring that we do. That third pouring is according to the Kabbalah. But according to the Din of the Gemara, you only have to pour on your hands twice. Now we're going to learn Shitat Rashi. Shitat Rashi holds the Ikar place where the rabbis mandated this gezerah that the hands are a sheni l'tumat, yeah, is from the knuckles upward to the fingers. That's the cutoff point. Okay, anything beneath the knuckles is not in the gezerah of Hazal. Some say it's actually up to the wrist. That's what we hold the halakha, up to the wrist. You know, l'chatayla, but the ma'aseh Rashi holds Adapirik. Adapirik is learning is the actual knuckles. That's the area that you have to make sure gets washed. Okay, very nice. So what's going to happen? What are we concerned about? He takes the cup. He makes the first washing, right? Pours water over his fingers over there on the knuckles. Very nice over there. Now, while his hands become pure as a result of that, right? Because he made the netilah. But what happens to the waters themselves? The waters themselves become now tameh from his hands. Okay? The hands were tameh. So this water over here is no good. The second waters, what do? The second water is to wash away the first waters that became tameh. That's basically why you're washing twice. Again, washing number one to purify the zone from the knuckles up. Good. Now I got some tameh waters on my hand. How do I get rid of those waters? Wash again, and now all the waters will go out, and you're fine. Now, what am I concerned that the Gemara is going out of its way to tell you, you got to keep your hands raised up? And I'll tell you what I'm worried about. Let's say I have these waters over here now, right? What am I concerned about? Some of the waters might go beyond the pitik. It might go over here to this section, which means, let's say by the wrist. Okay? Okay, so what's the problem if it goes by the wrist? So now I'm worried in the second washing, maybe my waters are not going to reach all the way down to the wrist. Maybe the waters in the second round are only going to go up to the knuckle. So I only purified the top waters, right? Because that's the only area I really got to hit. Now what's going to happen? If I put my hands down, the waters from above the perek are going to slide down, and now they're going to mitameh my hands again. So therefore it says, always keep your hands up. So the waters will never go from beyond the perek back down into the perek. That is the reason why you have to keep your hands up. Again, the main concern to crystallize is, I'm worried that on the second washing, you're not going to get all the hand. Maybe on the first washing, you put a lot of water, let's say, where it's going to hit not only the buckles, but even below that. Oh, very nice. Now, if the guy was careful on the second washing, to make sure that the water goes wherever the first one went, no problem. Whatever was the bad waters, you clean them. I'm concerned that on the second round, you're only going to wash to the pit where you have to wash. So the waters that were beneath it never got purified. So now what's going to happen? If you're going to put your hands down, that water is going to slide back down to the zone, and now you're going to have a problem. So by keeping your hands up, the waters that were beyond the Zohar will never slide back down. That should be noted, a very important point. This is only talking about where you did not use a revi'it of water. A revi'it, let's say, is 3.2 ounces of water. But if you used a revi'it of water in one shot, those waters themselves do not become tameh. Waters can only become tameh from the hands if it's less than a revi'it. So the guy's really using a minimal amount of water. He's cupping his hands very small, just putting a couple drops of water, you know what I mean? So that type of water has the ability to become tameh. That's why mayim rishonim sarik lagbiya. Mayim acharonim, the contrary. Mayim acharonim is for the salt. Right, for the salt that you have on the hands, we don't want a person to, let's say, touch his hands like the Gemara says in Holin, in his eyes, and blind himself, God forbid. So therefore, we want the residue, we want it to fall off. So therefore, with the Zohama to come off, so if a Mayim Acharonim, you put the hands down in order to let the Zohama run off the hands. Okay? Good. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Abu, anybody that eats bread before he dries his hands, he makes a touch of them, but it doesn't dry good, so he's eating his bread with wet hands. It's as if he's eating bread that is not pure. Now, when it says lechem tameh, it means he's eating the bread in a disgusting way. Tameh over doesn't mean contaminated, because really not contaminated. Tameh is another way of saying, like it's eating it in a disgusting way. You're putting the bread with the wet hands. It's disgusting. And the Gemara proves to you that the word tameh refers to, is disgusting. How do you know that from? Because the pasuk says Shneimar. Borei Olam told you Haskel the prophet. He was telling Haskel about the exile, how bitter it's going to be. So he told you Haskel to make a bread in a very awkward shape, which was like a disgusting looking bread over there. And he told them that this is going to be a sign of the galut. As disgusting as this bread looks, that's how disgusting or difficult the galut is going to be. And the person says, "Yomer Hashem, kache yochidu b'nei Yisrael lahmam tameh." Now, it didn't mean tameh in the contaminated sense. It means tameh in a disgusting manner. The galut is going to be just as disgusting. So if we see the word tameh is disgusting, okay. So you have to dry your hands before you make the before you eat the bread. Otherwise, it's not good, obviously. Okay, continue. Now, we quoted a pasuk above. Okay? Ki be'ad isha zona'at ki kar lechem. Now the Gemara is going to quote the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk said, ve'eshet ish nefesh yekara tatsud. Let's just get the words. Ve'eshet ish. That's eshet ish, a married lady. Ve'eshet ish nefesh yekara. We don't know what that word means. Nefesh yekara could mean either a precious soul, nefesh yekara, tatsud, will be trapped. Okay, so something with an eshet ish, with a nefesh, with a man, tatsud being trapped. Who's trapping who? What is a nefesh yekara exactly? We wait for the Gemara to explain. Why are we quoting this pasuk again? It's the end of the pasuk of Kibiyad Isha Zona Ati Kadlech, which we quoted already above. So the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Chaya bar Abba Amar Rav Yohanan, kol adam sheyesh bo gasuta ruach, anybody that has arrogance, anybody that has gasuta ruach, is hori, lebesof nechshal be'eshet ish. At the end, he's going to end up in eshet ish. He's going to end up with committing adultery. Shina emar, ve'eshet ish, a married lady, nefesh yekara tatsud. Who's nefesh yekara? Nefesh yekara is a high soul. Somebody that thinks his nefesh is precious, meaning he holds himself high. So it sounds like what? That he's going to go after the eshet ish. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, look at the 1, 2, 3 lines after they get wide. Lesof nechshav eshet ish v'achi kama. This is what it means to say. Be'ad isha zonat ki kan lechem. Ve'eshet ish zona. Nefesh haikara gevoha hitetsudena rodef achareha vetsad ota umagia. The ge'eh is going to chase after the eshet ish, trap her, get her, and make the avera. That's the gava. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rava. Rava says, it might be true what you're saying, but cannot be pshat in the pasuk. Why? Hai nefesh yekara nefesh gevoha mev'ele. If it's talking about a ga'ava, yekara is not the right word. Yekara is like a precious. It should have said nefesh givoha, right? Somebody that's haughty. Question number two. Ve'od he tatsud mivale, which means he tatsud, which means it, according to what you're saying, it's mashma that he's going to get trapped, which means the ge'e is nikshad be'eshet ish. That what? That she
snares him.
Right, she traps him. So if that's the case, it should say he tatsud, which is look at Rashi, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines after they get wide. He tatsud mivale. Kevan de misifal de resha kadrishle. You'll have to learn like this. Haki be'ele le mechtav. De eshet ish, nefesh yekara. He tatsud ota, which is you're learning like you're learning that he's going to trap the lady. It should say that the nefesh yekara, he will trap the ishet ish. Aval ash to much ishet ish sada et nefesh yekara. But the way it's written, it's much that she's trapping him. The way you're explaining it is that he's going to go after ishet ish, but the pasuk not much like that. It's much from the pasuk that what she's doing the trapping. So the Gemara says, okay, nu derasha el amaraba. Anybody that goes with Eshet Ish, afidu lamad Torah, even if he studied Torah, dichtiv ba yekara hi mepininim. By the Torah, Shlomo HaMelech says, the Torah is more precious even than pearls. But he uses the word mepininim to teach me. Pininim also means inside. The Torah is even more precious than something inside. What does that mean? Mekohen gadol shenichnas lifnai v'lifnim, which means the study of Torah is even greater than a kohen gadol that goes inside. Like the Gemara says in another place, memzer talmid hacham is greater even than a kohen gadol amaris. Even though the kohen gadol amaris gets to go in the kodesh kodashim, but a memzer talmid hacham is greater. Yekarahim peninim. The Torah is more precious even than the kohen gadol that goes lifnai v'lifnim. And that's what the pasuk is saying. The pasuk is saying like this: he tetsudenu ledina shel geinam, which means the pasuk is like v'nefesh yekara. Who's the nefesh yekara? Tamid hakam, the nefesh that's yakar mepeninim, that studies Torah. The eshet ish, if he goes with an eshet ish, geinam is going to trap that guy as well. Which means, don't think he's going to be safe from Geinam. He tetsudenu, the Geinam is going to trap him. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, yeah, that's what it means. Like we said, that he's going to, the Sof is going to be into Geinam. So pasuk says, ve'eshet ish, misheba al eshet ish, afilu hu nefesh yekara, even if he's a precious soul that studies Torah, Averazu, the sin, tatsud otol geinam. He's still going to get trapped in geinam. Torah cannot protect him from this. Amar Yochanan Mishun Bishimon ben Yochai. Kol adam sheyesh bo gasut haruach. Anybody that has arrogance, keilu oved avodat kochavim. It's like he worships idolatry. Ketivacha, it says in one place, to'ava tashem kol gevalev. It calls the arrogant man a to'ava, an abomination. What does it say about Avodah Zarah? Velo tavi to'eva el betecha. Don't bring an abomination to death. That's Avodah Zarah. So you see what? They're both called to'eva. So a haughty man is like a man that worships idolatry. Rabbi Hanan dide, Rabbi Hanan himself said, ki'ilu kafar ba'ikar. Worse. A person worshiping Avodah Zarah could still believe in God. He's just doing both. Rabbi Hanan says, no, it's like he's kofir in Hashem. Shne'emar ve'ram levavecha. What's the next stage? If the person is Ram, he becomes exalted in himself. The next thing he becomes is to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk is saying like this: it's as if you were shocheya, which is Ma'ale Ani Keilu Shachachta. That's what it means. Ram LeBavecha. The Torah says it's like you forgot God. Keilu Kafar Baikar. Next one. Rav Hama Bar Harina Amar Keilu Ba'al Kol Arayot. Person is Ge'e. They give him as if he committed every single arayot in the Torah, all the immorality in the Torah. How do you know? Like ketivacha to'avat Hashem kol gevalev, right? Calls the arrogant man an abomination. Uchtivatam ki it kol ha'to'avot ha'el. When it's talking about the parashah of the arayot, it says all these abominations the people of Canaan used to do. So it calls the arayot to'avot. So an arrogant man, it's like he committed all the arayot. Ula amar Unah comes along and says, Ki ilu bana bama. It's like he built a bama. Bama is like a foreign mizbeah, right? For Avodah Zarah, obviously. Shne'emar, hidlu lachem min ha'adam, asher neshama be'apo, ki bameh nechshavu. Al tekre bameh, ela bama. Which means, this person over here, neshama be'apo, his neshama be'apo, meaning his nose is high, he's a ge'eh. So the pasuk says what? Ki bameh nechshav. He's considered like a bameh, meaning not a bameh, bama. It's as if he built a bama. Just reading the Maharsha to explain some of these agarata gemariyot that we just read. The Maharsha says like this, called Adam Shesh Bo Gasuta Ruach Kilu Oved Avodah Zara. Anybody that has arrogance, Gasuta Ruach, like he works for Avodah Zara. Hu Mivuar Shesh Le Adam Bet Ruhot. In a person, there's two spirits. Ruach Tahara V'Ruach Tum'ah. Like we learned above in the Gemara said that sometimes a Tahor spirit comes over the person, sometimes a Tameh spirit, Kedamar, Ne'el, like we learned above on that bit. V'ne'emar b'ruach taharam, by ruach taharam, it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, ki ani Hashem etdeka b'shfal ruach. A humble man is called shfal ruach. When a person's humble, there's a spirit of tahara that rests on the person. U'behefech, Ruach HaTum'ah Shu Kowach Shul Avodah Zarah. Because there's another pasuk that says in Melachim, Vehayiti Ruach Sheker. Ruach Sheker Vihu Hagas Ruach. So therefore, it's coming along to say that Gasut Ruach is the Ruach Tum'ah, that's called Ruach Sheker. So that causes, that's like the Ruach of Avodah Zarah, which is Ruach Tum'ah. V'Rabbi Yohanan Amar Kilu Kofer. When a person has this spirit of gava, which is according to the Maharsha, gava is not only just a bed midah. When a person has arrogance, there's a spirit over him. There's a spirit of tum'ah that actually possesses him to a certain extent. It'll lead him, this bad spirit that he has in him, to forget God. Again, God is the spirit of tahara. Ruach tum'ah is going to make him forget. Meaning, which is, it'll bring him to these sins. That's what it means. Once already a person has the ruach tumah, he's prone to other things that are considered ruach tumah. Shechat Hashem is ruach tumah. Arayot is considered what's holy. When the Gemara is saying, according to the Maharsha, it's like he did it. It doesn't mean like he did it. It means once already a person's on the road that he can come to make these averot. Already it's like he put himself on the derech to do these averot because like avera going into avera, the ruach tumah will lead him to ruach tumah. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen.